This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Science fiction noise. Sci-fi noise. My name is Derek Howard. Let me start all over. Hello. Welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi and it's part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details on this and all the other episodes for Sci-Fi Noise, check out the website. You can send feedback to you can send feedback to sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I'm kind of distracted because this is one of those early Saturday morning episodes where I'm out in the garage and it's still kind of chilly, and I'm watching the dogs run around. And the reason I'm out here is because I just finished watching the season finale of Fringe. Man, it's such a good show. I'm so glad that even though I gave up on it, I gave it a second chance. And that's one thing that I don't know how to put it, but I'm really happy that I did. It turned from being almost a clone of a show that I really did not like, X-Files. And don't send me email about how X-Files was great. X-Files was great for maybe a run of 7 episodes, and then I got sick of it. It wasn't great before those 7 episodes, and it wasn't great after those 7 episodes. Don't even ask me which 7 episodes it were. All I know is I watched 7 episodes that I really enjoyed, and when it got around to episode number 8, I was like, why am I wasting my time with this crap? Now that that's off my chest again. I was sitting here trying to think about why I liked Fringe so much. I mean, it started off as X-Files ripoff, all right? And when you're ripping off something that I don't like, you know, I have very low expectations. But I gave it, 3 or 4 episodes, simply because I am a righteous and benevolent person. I can be ridiculous also. So then I decided, this isn't for me. I'm going to check out, all right? Maybe it's because those early episodes seemed so one and done with very, very little to hold everything together. I'm thinking that's why I didn't like it, you know. And everybody who I had heard from, my friends who were telling me how great it was, these were all people who I know for a fact like X-Files. So, you know, to me, that caused their judgment in question. But for some reason, I decided to give it a second chance at the beginning of the second season, and I was hooked, and I've been hooked ever since. I actually went back and watched that first season, and yeah, it's still too much of one and done for me, but I eventually ended up liking it. And it makes me wonder what J.J. Abrams and his crew had in mind for the TV show Undercovers. Undercovers was on NBC this last year, and it was sort of like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where you have these spies going in and doing spy things. Unfortunately, and I'm just going to flat out say it, although it was a good show, what did they say? They said it was too vertical and not horizontal enough, which meant that it was, and I don't know why they talk that way. I read a couple of of analysis of the failure of the show, and that's what they said. It was too horizontal. It was too vertical, not horizontal enough. And horizontal just basically means it's serialized, and vertical means one and done. There you go. I don't know why they couldn't say it. So there were too many one and done episodes, and not enough serial. You know. But that's what they say. I don't think that's what killed the show, because let's face it, some of the most successful shows in history, some of the most successful shows in the past, you know, what, 5, 10, 20 years have all been vertical shows. They've all been one and dones, right? If you don't believe me, I got three words for you. Law and order. There you go. CSI. You know, these are shows that are one and done. Very, very rarely do they have any serialized aspects to it. No, the reason that Undercovers failed to me was twofold. Number one, there was already Chuck, which was sort of like the basic premise, right? Which is this sexy couple goes undercover, goes into action to stop gun runners and people with nuclear weapons. There you go, right? Only difference is the couple in Undercovers with Black, you know? So there you go. I'm just going to say it. A lot of people have been tiptoeing around that, but let's face it. I'm not even going to say that the American TV watching public, but the American network executives really don't know how to handle a Black couple on television having the focus on a show that's not insipid. That's not a comedy, you know. But it makes me wonder where he was going to go with that show, because if he used the same tack that he did with Fringe, the show I'm just talking about, he would have had a bunch of one-and-dones, which is what he did with Undercovers. And then slowly, towards the end of the first season, he would have started introducing elements that would lead to something more, like he did with Fringe, you know? And to tell you the truth, if they had put that show on a Friday, that would be a perfect show. That come on right after Fringe, you know, switch over to NBC to watch it. But no, NBC wants stupid shows on their weekend shows on Friday and Saturday. But it just makes me wonder where they could have gone, because it was like they were dropping little hints that there was a greater conspiracy going on, that the people who were sending them into battle had ulterior motives. A lot of the high-tech stuff that they were getting into was right on the border of being really science fiction-y, you know, sort of like the X-Files stuff that they did in Fringe in the early days. It was right on the border of, you know, it was X-Files light, and it was just like right on the border of being really interesting, like almost hard science fiction. And so that's one thing. I really wonder where they could have gone with that show. But yeah, the world will never know. And it got me to thinking once again, because, you know, I like to think, what's the best sci-fi show on television? And for a long time, it was, to me at least, it was Stargate Universe, although people will make the argument, of course, for Doctor Who. And I still have to say, I still don't really think Doctor Who is very good as a science fiction show. And it's really, actually, this season's starting to lose me. It's only two episodes in, so I'm trying to be patient with it. But Stephen Moffat is doing something that I don't really like. and it's something that Russell T. Davies actually did much better than he did. And I know that that's a blasphemy in Who circles, but the fact of the matter is, when Davies had control of the of the Who franchise. What he would do is each season would lead up to, you know, something big. You know, the first season it was, you know, who is Bad Wolf? What is Bad Wolf? Right. But they answered that, you know, and there was one where they kept showing that this one guy was trying to get into, you know, politics and all this other kind of stuff. I can't remember his name now, but it turned out that he was the master, you know, and that's what Davies would do, is that he would have these overall story arcs within the season. But that was it. Yeah. Later on, I think like the last show he did, he kind of introduced elements from all the seasons that he had worked on into like the season finale. But, you know, that's just like one big kerfluffle. That's all he wanted to do, was just put everything into one. And I can understand why he did that. Why not? You know, but each season had an overarching story arc. And I liked that. People complain, but yeah, it was cool to me. Then you get to Stephen Moffat taking over, and I can tell already that he wants his entire run on Doctor Who to be looked at as one great big story, because there are things that he introduced in the first, you know, in a few stories that he wrote. He brought back those characters like the Weeping Angels, who are still creepy. But the first season, what he did was he introduced some stuff that he never wrapped up. You know, he never answered these questions. And they're starting to come up again in this next season. And as it's going on, you can just tell that, okay, instead of having one overreaching story arc per season, it's just going to have a bunch of them. And then they're all, everything's just all going to connect together. And I'm not, I don't know. My friend Bruce Rosenberger did not like the old Doctor Who because it looked cheesy. He's not the only one. I remember that here in Detroit, I want to say back in 79, 80, maybe, Doctor Who and Dark Shadows used to come on right after school. Not only right after school, but they would play on, Channel 62, which is now our CBS affiliate, but back at that time it was independent. It had no allegiances to anybody, you know, and it would that's where you would see local made programs, right? If you ever want to see something funny, go on YouTube and do a search for The Scene, you know, The Scene Detroit or New Dance Show Detroit, something like that, and you'll see a ripoff of Soul Train. It was just hilarious. And I used to watch it after school every day, so I can't talk too much. But they used to show Dark Shadows and Doctor Who. And I remember I was over somebody's house and we were watching Dark Shadows, because, and now Dark Shadows is something I tried to get into. I'm just not, you know, but we were watching it, and they were really into it. And then Doctor Who came on, and they were like, wow, this just looks real cheap. You know, and I'm just thinking to myself, you just sat through Dark Shadows. You know, Dark Shadows looks just as cheap, you know. But the thing is that those old Doctor Who episodes, yeah, they may have been cheap, but the stories were good. You know, and quite frankly, if they had spent their time retelling some of those old stories, I think people would still have a great appreciation for them, you know, because they weren't all about, let's see how we can set up this crazy mystery that we'll have people try to figure out only to find out that they're missing some sort of made up clue. And what I mean by that is there are times where I'm watching Doctor Who, especially since Moffat took over, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the episode, where they're leading at. And then all of a sudden, the doctor will say, ah, yes, this is something from the third galaxy of Mesopotamia. And it's just like, oh, for real? Yeah, because apparently there's some little bug that can take over someone's entire arm. And then he's using that arm to go around and set laser cannons. It's just like, oh, really? Come on. I realize that the doctor's supposed to be the smartest one in the house. But, man, they don't have to make him so that he makes the viewers feel like a bunch of chumps for watching the show, you know? And that's the feeling I get a lot of times when I'm watching Doctor Who nowadays, is that, wow, I'm a chump for watching this, you know? I mean, I'm a chump because there's no way I can figure it out, so I'm not even going to bother thinking about it. And if I don't bother thinking about it, I don't try to figure something out, then that's when they'll say, ah, yeah, see, the clues are in front of us all along. It's like, okay, so this one you don't pull stuff out of your ass. The other ones you do. Okay, thank you. So I'm a chump if I try, I'm a chump if I don't. And I think that's one of the reasons why. Plus, it's like they want to spend more time on the suspense aspect, right, rather than the science fiction aspect. And this last episode, Doctor Who in America, they had a lot of time travel, and that's what killed me, the season finale. There was a lot of time travel. And I realize that this is a show about a time traveler, but he doesn't usually do a thing where he, like he did in the season finale last year, where he's going back into his own time to hand himself stuff. And it's like, okay, so why doesn't he do that every time? That's why I hate time travel stories. When I heard that that China outlawed time travel stories, a lot of people were like, oh, that's just because they want to whitewash history. They don't want people. And I'm just like thinking, no, because time travel stories are stupid. And in this point, the Chinese are a lot more advanced than we are. Kill that stuff. You know, you want to have a time travel story, go right ahead. Just don't make it that completely stupid. Anybody who likes the Back to the Future trilogy will tell you the weakest one was the second one. Why? Because that's the one that had too much time travel in it. Time travel. Ugh. Anyway. You're probably thinking, well, Derek, what about Stargate Universe? You were a huge fan of that. Isn't that the best show? Best science fiction show on television? I don't know, because once they came back from their break and they said, yeah, only 10 episodes left, I just decided I'm just going to bank them. You know, I've watched like two of the ones since they came back, and I'm not even going to watch the rest of them until the show's over. I'll just watch them in one great big, Stargate Universe marathon, and I'll just let you know what I think of the last ones. But, yeah, nobody cares. When I say nobody cares, it just seems to me that a lot of times people want, especially from the Stargate universe, not the show, but the whole setting. They don't mind the one and done. They don't mind the vertical. They don't mind the stupid and inane and insipid, right? And I'm sorry if Stargate SG-1 was one of your favorite shows, but I still cannot make it through that second season, you know. And even a show that started off great, like Farscape, now it's, I got to like halfway through the third season, and it's just so difficult to watch, because it's just like, it's trying so hard to be cute, you know. I mean, before they were just telling stories, right? This is what's happening. This is what's going on. All right, let's go. This is, you know, we're fugitives on a run, right? Okay. Well, here, we're fugitive on the run, and this guy's chasing after us. Okay. Okay, we're fugitive on the run, but hey, the guy who's chasing us, he's in the head of our main character, so we get to see really stupid discussions going on between him and somebody who's not there. Okay. All right, now there's two of them. Okay, so now we're going to split the team up. Half of them goes with one of the main guys. Other half goes with the other of the main guys. Okay. One is doing this serious science fiction story. The other one is sitting around basically going on a what seems to me like a galactic pub crawl, because they seem to be getting drunk a lot. Okay, and I'm watching it, and I'm watching the shows, and I'm really getting mad, because every time they have, Katara, is that her name? Katana, the purple chick? Every time they have an episode of her, it makes my skin crawl, because I don't like that character. I just really don't. I'd much rather have the one that screams like Black Canary, you know, because at least she's purposely irritating. But I'm watching it. I'm still trying to get through it. I'm still trying to watch it. And then they had one where Scorpius is a cartoon character in Crichton's mind. And I was just like, I'm serious. That's the exact sound I made. And then I turned off Netflix, because I was watching Netflix stream, and I turned it off for like a month and a half. I started back up like, oh, yeah, why did I stop watching this? Turn it on, there's cartoon Scorpius, cut it off, like, yeah, now I remember. You know, it's like, the more I watch that show, the less I want to see of it. You know, it's not like Babylon 5, where the more I watch, the more I want to watch. It's not like Fringe, where the more I watch, the more I want to watch. It's just like V, the new V, you know? The more I watch, the more I'm just like, are you kidding me? Why am I wasting my time? And, you know, and I watch a show like V. I watch a show like Flash Forward. I watch a show like Farscape and Stargate SG-1. And I just think to myself, all right, and Stargate Universe is canceled after 2 seasons. Defying Gravity didn't even make it through the first season, and neither did Firefly. And the three shows that I named, to me, are way better than those other shows I was talking about. You know? If I had a choice between watching Stargate Universe, or Stargate SG-1, we all know what went. If I had a choice between watching Farscape and, let's just say, Defying Gravity. No. Farscape and Firefly, because they're more thematically, similar. Yeah, Firefly. I think most people would say that. I can't even remember the other one I named. But they're it's just ridiculous. But that's what we do as science fiction fans. We watch stuff and we complain about it, you know. Same thing as, comic book fans or pro wrestling fans. You know, because this isn't, you know, say what you will about sports fans, they can see an improvement and the product that they watch. You know, it's very easy to tell when you have a good team, when you're watching a good team, and when you're watching a bad team. All right. Sometimes it's sort of subtle to see that your once great team now is one of the biggest losers in the league. But you can see it from the win-loss, right? You can see it from the individual games on how hard that they're actually trying and how bad they get beaten. Right? With a TV show, you can't really tell. It's like one day you're watching and all of a sudden it's just like, have I wasted my time and my energy watching this crap? And that's what usually happens, you know. And with me, when I stop, a lot of times I don't go back, you know. The TV show Andromeda is one that completely lost me, and I've never gone back. There's a show called Odyssey 5, which I'm going to be getting shortly from Netflix, that I really liked that first episode. But it didn't last the whole season, so there's got to be a reason. So I'm going to watch it and try to see why. And I got a bad feeling that I know why, but we'll see, you know. And a lot of times, shows deserve a second chance. And for me, Fringe was one that deserved a second chance, because I know for a fact that it was me. They were presenting something that I just flat out did not like. But this is the same guy who did Lost, and unlike a lot of people who despise Lost, I liked it, you know. I don't want to see another show like Lost. I guess that's why I really, that's one of another reasons why I didn't really get into a show like Flash Forward, that in fact that, you know, they went out of their way to be obnoxious about, hey, we have a mole, but it turns out our mole is a mole. And it's just like, oh my God, never mind. I'm done. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just how it is. You watch Fringe, they don't try to swerve you, you know. And that's a pro wrestling term where basically, and I could be getting the terminology wrong. But determination. To me, there's a difference between a swerve and a surprise. A surprise is something that you build up to and you don't announce it. Boom, it happens. Okay. A good example of that would be, they were talking about the host for WrestleMania 27. All right. They didn't say who it was. You kind of had hints that it was The Rock, but they didn't really say, you know. There were even hints that it was going to be Bob Barker, which would have been a huge letdown to some people. But I think it still would have been entertaining. Not as entertaining as it turned out to be The Rock, you know. That was a surprise, okay. A swerve is when it looks like one thing. Like when you have a tag team match, right? And then, you know, the two teams are going at it. They're going at it really hard. And all of a sudden, one partner will turn on the other, you know, for no reason at all. I mean, and then they later on will try to fill in the blanks. Oh, I had a better offer or something like that. And it's just like, really? That's all it was. It's just a swerve, you know. Fringe didn't do that, okay? Fringe has surprises, all right? Even when they had William Bell come back, that was a surprise. With a show like Flash Forward and a show like V, to an extent, every now and then they would show, okay, yeah, this person is a traitor. This person is a mole. This person is working for the enemy. This person is working for the visitors. And it's just like, really? There's nothing in their past that says it that. There's nothing in their past that hints at that whatsoever. But that's what you're going to say. And for me, I think it flashed forward was when one of the characters gets shot in the stomach. It turns out that she got shot on purpose, because she was a mole and she wanted to throw off suspicion. And then it turns out that she wasn't a mole. She was a double agent. It's like, are you done? That's a swerve. That's an unnecessary surprise, you know, an unnecessarily stupid surprise on top of that. But Fringe doesn't do that. And that's why right now it's It's in the running for best science fiction show. Doctor Who, like I said, they try too many swerves, but their swerves aren't even built on illogic. Their swerves are built on a whole total nother logic, you know. Ugh, I don't even know how to describe it. Anyway, let me know what you think your favorite current show is, you know. And when I mean current, I mean that, like, their season could be over, like Fringe, but they're not canceled, you know. What's a show that's been canceled that's a sci-fi show? V has been canceled, right? So V wouldn't count. The old version of V wouldn't count. Actually, to tell you the truth, Falling Skies, which looks pretty interesting, which looks like V done right, if you ask me, that doesn't count because it hasn't started yet. But, like, currently running shows. The Fringe counts because it hasn't been canceled. In fact, it's been renewed for the next couple of years because, you know why? Because it's Friday. And that's another thing I want to talk about. If you look at a lot of the biggest science fiction successes of the last few years, they've come on Fridays. You know, even though Friday and Saturday are considered to be television deadlands, X-Files came on a Friday. You know, that they were, I'm pretty sure they stuck it there so it would die, and it flourished. You know, same thing with Battlestar Galactica, you know, on Sci-Fi Channel. They put it on Fridays, and I'm pretty sure they thought, okay, this will get bad ratings. That way we'll get off of the production costs. But then, hey, it started to get ratings. It started to make them some money. So I say, why don't we put it on a good night? Which, yeah. And if I were, no, I was about to say, I thought that Eureka was on Fridays for a while. But, no, I mean, so you put, it didn't work with Dollhouse because Dollhouse was one of those shows that was too serialized. And plus, they messed with everything. Fox loves to screw with those Friday shows. Those new Friday shows. Because I think we all know that not only were some of the episodes for Dollhouse aired out of order that they were intended to, but they made a big change to the to the pilot, to the very first episode, that not only didn't make any sense, but it was totally out of place, you know? I mean, nonsensical and total, and sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, it's just weird because they wanted the show to start off with some action, so they had this motorcycle chase scene, which made absolutely no sense. I remember watching it, it was like, all right, when are they going to get past this part? Not, ooh, wow, look at that. But they, like I said, they like doing that to Friday shows. There was a show, I can't even remember the name of it now. I think it was like Frankie Z. They had some guy named Frankie Z on there, or the show was on Frankie Z. Anyway, I remember watching it. It was a guy who got out of prison who becomes sort of like a private detective, right? And they messed with the airing order. So one week he was feuding with his ex-girlfriend because he couldn't see his daughter. Then the next week him and the ex were cool and he was hanging out with his daughter. And then like the following week they were arguing over every little thing and he couldn't, you know, and he was sneaking around to see his daughter. And it was like, what the hell happened? Wait a minute. I thought that and then I found out, oh, they just aired things out of order because they didn't really give a shit, care. They did not care. Yeah, so Fox is stupid like that. Yeah, so just let me know what you think is the best airing show right now. I know I'm going to hear at least from Bruce Rosenberger and Rick Hansen. But if you're somebody who's not named Bruce Rosenberger or Rick Hansen, and you listen to the show, just drop me a line, sci-fi@deliberatenoise.com. Stop by the website, which is deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, or send me a tweet. I'm on Twitter. Had one just for the for Sci-Fi Noise. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it is Twitter. Of course, you see what I'm trying to do is verify it on my phone, and my phone is taking forever. It is not here. All right, I'm pretty sure that it's Sci-Fi Noise. Twitter.com/sci-fi-noise. And if it's not, then I apologize. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode. I'm gonna go to